Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a cloudy day here in Nashville, Tennessee. We are on Broadway at the Hard Rock Cafe. I'm Katie Neal from Odyssey Country here with Grammy Award-winning Maren Morris. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited.
I know. We were just talking about how we like literally haven't seen each other. We've only been through the camera for at least 2 years. We know that. But prior before that, maybe another year or two. But it's so great to see you.
It's nice to see your beautiful three-dimensional face and not through Zoom.
Yeah. I know. It's so nice to be back with people again. Album release week is here.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I feel like it's the least nervous I've ever been going into an album release week, just because, I don't know, there was no pressure to make this album. Maybe some of that was like the pandemic, and maybe some of it was, it's album three. Like, I can maybe settle for a second, but no, I'm proud of these songs. And so I'm just ready for someone aside from myself and like my team to hear them at the end of this. So yeah, I'm excited to have it out.
There's got to be like a little bit of confidence that comes with album number three, because your debut album, I'm sure everything is chaos. You have no idea what's going on. It comes out, your sophomore album, you're just like crossing your fingers there's not a sophomore slump that everyone talks about. You did not have that. You've remained so successful. Now album number three, like, I'm sure you just feel like, oh, I know what I'm doing, and I know what's about to happen.
Yeah, but I also don't. I'm like, I thought I knew everything, and then COVID happened, and then touring got blown out, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I can't micromanage anything anymore. I think we all kind of felt that in some way, where we had this like tight grip on our rise or like our trajectory of life, and then COVID happened, and it was like, we are not in control. We have to just like
kind of surrender.
Yeah, and I think we're survivalists at the end of the day. Like, human beings are just, through all of this, we had to be adaptable to just get through it. And, like, music was such a healer for me during this time. Like, not as just a songwriter, but someone that turned to music during a really uncertain time, just to feel like I wasn't alone during this really weird moment of history. And you know, I wouldn't say this album of mine is like a pandemic record, but it definitely was made during one and because of one.
We're very excited to hear it. And I feel like for you, you have been on this rocket ship the last couple of years. You break into the scene with My Church, you win a Grammy, you are winning awards right and left. The Bones becomes like the song of everything. The Middle happens. John Mayer and Taylor Swift are like calling you to sing on songs of theirs. When was the last time you had like a pinch me moment where you were like, I'm just a girl from Arlington, Texas. What is happening?
I mean, I've become friends with him during the process, but now that you mention it, like, just, yeah, John Mayer. I just remember going to like, it at the time was called Smirnoff Music Center in Dallas, Texas, where we would go, and it's like the outdoor amphitheater, and I would go see John Mayer during like Continuum tour, and then to be on his last record just as a singer and collaborator is definitely like a pinching moment for me, just because there's very few artists that you grew up with and are still fans of that you grew with, Like, you still have artists that, like, grow with you as you get into your 20s, your 30s, and he kind of was that for me. So to just, like, be on an album with him and, like, him become a friend and, like, he's so sweet, I just feel like that was definitely one where it's like, what the hell?
I feel like moments in the studio, you're probably like, John Mayer is in you, like...
Yeah, yeah,
it's so
totally,
great.
Yeah.
One of those moments where you're kind of like step out of your own body and you're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, like of all people, yeah, him.
That's incredible. And then I feel like I know from being a fan of you and following you on social media, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I assume that you have very good like social boundaries. Like you share, but you don't overshare. You don't share Hayes's face. Like I feel like you probably have healthy boundaries, or like at least what do you set for yourself so that you can like interact with social and engage with it, but still like remain in a good place? Because sometimes it can be a lot.
Yeah, I kind of in a weird way feel like a lot of artists right now, the pioneer of new social media, where it's like we are millennials and we came up when Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, everything became a thing.
Yes.
And we were around before, like when you were just like doing AIM screen name stuff with your friends.
Your away message.
Right, exactly. I feel like I'm, as a millennial, one of the few artists that came from that generation that has become an artist through the new blooming social media age. So it's like a social experiment, but it's also like a tool that so many people and labels and marketing people want to use as like a way of, you know, marketing music. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, TikTok, I will absolutely feel like a grandpa at, because
no matter how hard I try, it
was during or after my time. And so it's like, it really humbles you. It's like, oh my God, I thought I knew everything about Instagram, and then TikTok comes along.
And you're like trying to do a transition and you're like, what?
No. And then you have to become this like director or like content curator of all things. And I just am not that. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I just write country music. So it's like exhausting, but it's also exciting. And the thing I love about any of it is because I can actually talk to my fans, and I don't have to just see them in person every time I tour. Because it used to be like you tour every few years and then you see that same fan in the same city every like 3 or 4 years. But now it's like streamlined.
And you talk to them.
You have relationships that build over years with them. And so I do feel like the middle child in some ways of like the millennials and then the like Billie Eilish's that are like
the world,
so young, like literally born in 2000. But I love it because I feel like we lived in a time where we didn't have that. And then we got to see it happen and bloom, and we're not scared of it as millennials. We're not scared of like the internet or technology, but then we're also figuring it out like the kids of now. And so it's like a weird window of time to live
for
in.
Sure. It definitely is.
Anyways, does that answer your question?
Yes, it absolutely does. My next question that you recently shared on social that you drunkenly met Hillary Clinton. So please tell me what happened.
I didn't want to, that was not my night plan. I never want to meet any presidential candidate or former secretary of state, like, drunk, you know? Like, why would you?
No, yeah.
I just went to dinner. Like, I went to dinner at a place that I love in New York, in Harlem. My friend Marcus Samuelson has a restaurant called Red Rooster in Harlem, and I went there with my friend, and then I was just, like, 3 cocktails in.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, it's a normal Friday. And then Marcus comes over and he owns the place and he's like, hey, they're having a private event downstairs and Hillary Clinton is down there. Do you want to meet her? And I said, no, I have had 3 drinks, Marcus. Do not make me meet this person. Absolutely not. And so he was like, you have to. And so he dragged my ass down there and I met her and she was so nice, so lovely. And, you know, I think I gave her a hug. I don't remember.
Like,
I don't remember
what
happened. I was very friendly, but she was very sweet. I mean, like, it's not even about politics. I was just meeting, and she's actually kind of like my height.
Really? I would not have guessed that.
She's shorter. But I was just like, please don't make me meet someone that important after I've had three cocktails. Like, it's not cool. But he is such a bringer of people together that he was like, you will not leave this restaurant until you meet this person, Maren. So I'm glad he forced me to, but she was very lovely.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And then you've been doing a ton of press because of album release week. And there was one quote that you recently gave to Bustle, and I love this. It said, after we're gone, maybe these songs will still be played in bars and cars. And that's more romantic to me than eternity, which is like, you're such a wordsmith. I love that. But when you think about, like, the legacy of your art and of your music, that's kind of like a profound thing to think about and takes people some time. So how do you think about it, and how are you, like, intentional with it?
Well, like, Ryan, my husband, is an artist and a writer, and we both, like, joke about us being nobodies someday, like a bunch of has-beens, and just the idea that, like, in some way, the music industry, like, chews you up and spits you out. And even though, like, we've made it in some ways, mm-hmm. you just never know when your moment to shine is over. And so he and I always joke, like, hey, we got married, we have a kid. Yeah, we have these songs. But, like, one day when we're has-beens, maybe, like, some young guns will be listening to our song in the car. Or after we're dead, people are listening to songs we wrote like 100 years from now. Like, that's kind of a crazy thought. But that felt to me more romantic in a way with Ryan just being like my partner than pledging eternity to each other, because it's like, what does that mean? Yeah. But like, our songs actually become our legacy after we're gone. Like, you kind of hope that you write a song that's good enough to stand the test of time. And we both want to do that, and everyone in this town wants to do that. So I felt like I wrote it to Ryan in a way of saying, like, it's not the make or break of our relationship to be, like, on top, but, like, maybe someday after we're gone and our children's children are gone, songs that we wrote back in 2019 or whatever, like, they live around beyond us. That felt like a weirdly morbid but also hopeful concept. I don't know.
It's a cool thing. I have chills, like, thinking about it. It's a very cool thing to think about, you know, when Hayes's children are listening to your song somewhere.
Yeah, and I would never compare myself to, like, Johnny and June or anything like that, but I just think about their legacy and how their love lived on through their duets and their songs together, and I feel like Ryan and I are kind of creating our own version of that with our music and our son, and so...
Definitely.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. No matter what you believe in, I feel like music lives on longer than we think it does, and this is the way that we leave something worth leaving behind.
I love that. That's beautiful. And then I really like that's just, it's such a profound thing to think about. I think a lot of people don't think about that. Like, not many people are walking around thinking, like, what is going to be left of me when I leave? And that's such a beautiful thing for you guys to be able to share that, especially. Thanks. Like, I've asked you guys before in the past, like, what are the pros and cons of being married to an artist? And Ryan's answer is always, like, there aren't any cons.
Well, you better say that.
Exactly. You also have got a big tour that's coming up. And I know everyone was so disappointed when you had to, like, you know, not go out on tour for RSVP. So what are you most excited about bringing to the Humble Quest tour and bringing on stage that maybe you haven't been able to before?
I mean, I just miss that, like, connection with people. Like, it's not even the applause. It's like, I just miss, whether I'm on stage or in the crowd as a fan at a show, I miss that live music connection that we all had at one point that we took for granted that we will never take for granted the same way again.
I always joke we're going to be like the old people at concerts. Like, don't you think that this is like, this can't be taken away from you, because it can't.
Well, yeah. Like, once in 100 years, a pandemic comes around and, like, teaches us a lesson. But I definitely felt like, I'm just so excited to see people. I will literally play in the parking lot. I don't care. I just miss being out, like, singing for people. Mm-hmm. And I miss, like, connecting with my fans and, everyone getting back into it is sort of gun shy, because it was taken away for so long. Like we, I was still building, like I'm still building my career. Like you go from clubs to theaters to amphitheaters to arenas to maybe a stadium someday. Mm-hmm. Like we're all on this weird linear trajectory. And I was in the middle of like building my way and then it like got shut down. And then it was like you were never in control of it to begin yeah. with. Why did you think you were? And so now it's like, I just want to have that connection again. And I think these songs are perfect to do so. Yeah. They feel like therapy, and we all need to just like be in a room with a bunch of strangers and have like a therapy sesh.
Yep.
I feel down for that. And whether I'm like the one, you know, with the microphone or the one in the crowd, like I just miss that connection with a bunch of rando humans, yeah. like in a show. So I'm excited to go back on the road. I'm playing a ton of places that I either have never played or I've never headlined, like Red Rocks, Hollywood Bowl, like
bucket list shows.
It's insane. So I'm just so excited to go and see everybody and be in, under the stars for this tour.
It's gonna be amazing and beautiful, and we're so excited for our show tonight here, totally private. We've got Emma Frazier, who's gonna be here with 9 of her friends. She's in town, and I wanna know from you, like, a young Maren Morris, like, driving around town, listening to the radio, what, like, artist or band would you have been, like, perpetually calling, trying to win a totally private concert with?
I mean, probably, like, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I would have
same.
Peed my pants if I had gotten to see, like, an acoustic show from her. Yeah, I just think I'm so excited to meet her and her 9 friends and be like, how do you have 9 friends? Yeah. Like, I don't have 9 friends.
9 friends that you would bring in public on a trip. Like,
right.
Friends that you bring on a trip is different than friends you hang out with at home. Like, it's a different, more selective crowd.
Well, I know, and this is very intimate. So I feel like, yes, I'll play some songs for you guys, but also I kind of just, I've never had this small of a crowd to talk to, so I kind of just want to be like, Emma, tell me about your life. Like, how...
Let's get to know each other.
How did you find me? Like, yeah.
It's going to be awesome. And then you've got a busy week. Hayes has got a birthday, your wedding anniversary, and you're also putting out an album. So what do you guys have planned to celebrate all of these things?
Well, we had my son's actual birthday party over the weekend, but his real birthday is tomorrow. So I do have that day off, so I can just, like, hang with my...
Nice little glasses. Are the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I know, he's
you
like...
You posted that. There is, like, something about a toddler with those glasses on that just wrecks me. He's so cute.
He's like my little Harry Potter.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was like, there definitely was some Harry Potter decision-making going on in there.
I know. I was like, I felt bad because, obviously, I passed off my terrible eyesight genes onto him, but then also he's, like, 2 years old and has glasses, and there's nothing cuter than a toddler with glasses, but... So no, tomorrow is his birthday, so I'm gonna hang with him all day and, like, you know, have a kind of pre-celebration mm-hmm. with my husband for our anniversary, but also, like, the album, like,
yeah.
Ryan's very much a part of this record. So, and then I go to work for the rest of the weekend to get this album out, but I'm excited. It's such a great week, and my team has just been, like, absolutely killing it. Like, you don't see, I'm looking into the lens right now, but... Like, you do not see the weeks and months of all the people off camera that have, like, made this happen. And this feels like a celebration because it's my last thing until the album's out. But, no, everyone's killing it to make this album, like, what it's meant to be. And it's just so encouraging.
That's awesome. We're so excited to hear it. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks.
Thank you for being here for Totally Private. I'm Katie Neal from Odyssey Country. This is Maren Morris. Make sure you please get her new album, Humble Quest, out this Friday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.